Among the great personalities who came to worship the lotus feet of the Lord were those who had attained perfection in self-control and regulative principles, as well as experts in logic. History, general education, and the Vedic literature known as Kalpa, dealing with old historical incidents. Others were experts in the Vedic corollaries, like the Samhita, Brahma Samhita, all the other knowledge of the Vedas, the Sama, Yajur, Rig, and Atharva, and also the supplementary Vedic literatures, the Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, etc. Others were those who had been freed of the reactions of fruitive activities by transcendental knowledge awakened by practice of yoga. And still others were those who had attained residence in Brahmaloka, not by ordinary karma, but by advanced Vedic knowledge. After devotedly worshipping the upraised lotus feet of the Supreme Lord with oblations of water, Lord Brahma, who was born of the lotus emanating from Lord Vishnu's navel, offered prayers to the Lord. And I believe that this is the verse, text number 4, which is on the board. And that's quite a well-known, at least Arukrama is a well-known name. And what is it, who or what is Arukrama? Who is Arukrama? Some people say Urukram, but Urukrama. Who is Arukrama? Lord Vishnu, maybe you're looking on your iPhones or something, I don't know. Particularly, it's the name of? Pardon?
Vishnu.
Yes, Vishnu, that we mentioned, or someone mentioned. But which form of Vishnu? Yes, particularly an address of Vamanadeva, one who has great steps. As you know, I think you've already read that, is that correct? Has Vamanadeva already, you know, made a couple of steps?
Yeah.
He's already covered a couple of square feet. But his feet were pretty big. Very big feet. I don't think the shoe zone could provide shoes big enough for him. His feet were so big. Well, his feet also were big, but his steps were so big. He's already covered the universe, is that right? Is that correct? Come on, you've been reading it.
Yeah.
Yes. So he's already covered the whole 2 steps, can you imagine? 2 steps, cover the whole universe. O King, the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva. Did we finish the word for word? No, we didn't, did we? We got stuck on Arukrama. We'll finish the word for word. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. O King, the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva, who is known as Arukrama. Sometimes the words say Urukram. It's not Urukram, it's Urukrama. Sometimes they say, I'm going for Parikram. Krama means like hard work. So it's not, it's steps. Urukrama. Urukrama. The wonderful, who is known as Urukrama, the wonderful actor. Thus that water became so pure that it was transformed into the water of the what? The Ganges, which went flowing down from the sky, purifying the 3 worlds like the pure fame of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Here we understand that the Ganges began when the water from Lord Brahma's Kamandalu washed the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadeva. But in the 5th canto it is stated, the Ganges began when? Where did it begin? We're talking about in this universe. When did it begin? When did it come in? When Vamanadeva's left foot pierced the covering of the universe. So that the covering of the universe is pretty thick. So that the transcendental water of the causal ocean leaked through. The Ganges is the water of the causal ocean beyond the material. It's like which the material universes are floating in. So that water leaked into the universe when Vamanadeva's left foot pierced through the coverings. And elsewhere it is also stated that Lord Narayan appeared as the water of the Ganges. It's actually non-different than Lord Narayan. That's why sometimes devotees worship worship the Ganga. They understand this is the liquid form of the Lord Narayan. And wood and liquid, he appears, Lord Jagannath is there. The water of the Ganges, therefore, is a combination of three transcendental waters. And thus the Ganges is able to purify the three worlds. This is the description given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So wonderful is that Ganga water. Just a drop, the Ganga is glorified in so many places. Glorious the river Ganga is. Because it's a form of Krishna. It's not just some water. It's not even just water that's touched the Lord's lotus feet. It is indeed. In fact, in the third canto, Lord Kapiladeva describes how the water that's touched the lotus feet of the Lord, how purified it is. Any water that has touched the Lord's lotus feet. And he's describing how Lord Shiva takes that water when after this incident of Lord Vamadeva's left foot piercing the coverings of the universe and the Ganga water under Kini and entering into this universe, how Lord Shiva, he's always kind, he's always the protector of the universe, basically. He's a destroyer also. He also acts in a way like he swallowed the ocean of poison. And here, because you cannot imagine the power of that water coming from the pressure of that causal ocean coming into the universe. It's such powerful. If you've ever been, I don't know if you've experienced, but sometimes the water comes out of the mountainside, you get this powerful jut coming out. It's so powerful, it'll knock you flying. Practically kill you by its force. So powerful. Or big waterfall crashing down from 200 meters or something. It's powerful, isn't it? You'd like to be at the bottom of Niagara Falls? There's nothing. It's like a tiny spray. This is so powerful. So Lord Shiva compassionately took one out of his eagerness also to get the purification of that water. He takes that water on his head, on his hair. He catches it and then allows it to come into the universe in a way which is, you could say, acceptable. So he takes that water on his head. And it said that he becomes, Lord Kapiladeva said, he becomes even more auspicious. His Shiva means auspicious. The other day we had Shivaratri. Very auspicious day. We don't celebrate it in a major way usually in ISKCON, but Lord Shiva is very important devotee if we want to make advancement in spiritual life, as you probably have heard. But he's the one who disseminates in this way the Ganga Jal throughout the universe to purify the universe. What chance would we have? The universe is so impure. In that one's not impure, but the consciousness of the living entities is so impure, the universe is not. So we purify our consciousness by allowing the Ganga to come into this universe in a way we can associate. You can go now. You can go now. And Prabhupada says, even though there are stools floating in the Ganga, there are dead bodies sometimes. There's all sorts of things floating. He says that the Ganga Jal ever remains pure. It's transcendental. We may not see purely. One time when one devotee was first devotee, actually, with Prabhupada in 67 in Vrindavan, and he came, Prabhupada took him from America, his Kirtananda, and he said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, why is Vrindavan so dirty? Prabhupada said, because you're so dirty. You're seeing it dirty because you're dirty. Is our perception. Everything is about perception. How we see things. It's not what it is. Everything's pure. Everything's perfect. But because of our imperfect, om purnamidak purnamitam, purnamivavishishiti. Everything's perfect and complete. But we have imperfect vision. Covered. So we're seeing it in a perverted way. But the Ganga is ever pure. Jamuna is ever pure. Of course, from the environmental point of view, and for the sake of, you know, say, mundane necessity and service also, one tries, the endeavors are there to try to clean up these rivers, so to speak, from the material perspective. But they're still there in their complete glory. Just we cannot see because we're covered. Jamuna is not dependent upon some totally petty little engineer. Totally not at all dependent upon it. From the material perspective, yes. But not from the spiritual perspective. Prabhupada says that's why Vrindavan sometimes... Why is it said sometimes? There's so many cactuses, is explained in the purport of the 10th canto somewhere. And the cactuses, where's those 12 forests of Vrindavan? Where are they? You go there, you might see some thorn bushes, a few trees here and there. We can't see. How it describes it, it appears like this to keep away the non-believers. Keep the atheists at bay. And to enter Vrindavan is not some sightseeing tour. You know, some bath in the Pacific Ocean or something. It's of a totally different dimension. Coming into this universe, and if we have the right approach, but the wrong approach, yes, shasta bhakti bhagavata kinchana. No, what's the verse? Yes, the atmi buddhi kunipay to traduke, svadi kalatradishu boma ichudi, yatirta buddhi shalilena kahichit janesha vigeshe kokara. If we go there, if we think that I'm this body, and that my place of birth is worshipable, these are my family members. This body is me. And I'm going there just to take a bath in the river to get free of my karma. But I'm not interested in listening to Krishna Katha. I'll go there to Loy Bazaar, if you're going to Vrindavan, do my shopping and come back. Maybe I'll say Hari Bol to the deities. Hari Bol, Lord. What something or another. Definitely find out where the best place for prasadam is. And then come back with our luggage. And we have to take advantage to enter into the holy land of the Vrindavan Dham or spiritual Dham. Even here, everywhere, where the purpose is to enter into the Dham. We're not here just to have a good time. We're here to get out of the material world. To enter into the Dham. That requires a change of consciousness. Change of perception. So that is evoked, or that takes place, by exposing ourselves to the sound vibration. The transcendental sound vibration, which is spoken or sung, uttered by pure devotees of the Lord. We have to simply hear. That changes our consciousness. Hearing means they may engage us in service, but the principle is to hear. That is the purificatory process. To hear attentively the sound vibration coming from the pure devotees. Their words have emanated, it states, I think, in the fourth canto, from the lotus feet of the Lord. And even if they're not, from the material perspective, very eloquent, they are totally purifying. And by hearing those words, whether we like it or not, one becomes purified. The degree that we're attentive, there is always a benefit. So then, Lord Shiva becomes more auspicious by taking that water on his head. Just like it describes how by meditating, this example is given in the purport, but because that water, the Ganges water, has touched the lotus feet of the Lord, therefore by meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord, one becomes purified of all contamination. Powerful effect of just focusing on the lotus. We may be doing it mechanically sometimes. You take a picture of the Lord's lotus feet and meditate upon it. It's powerful. When we used to go for book distribution, we would always carry a picture, because we didn't have Radha Gokulananda then, we would always carry a picture of Radha Lundanishwar's lotus feet with us. And as much as possible, keep looking at those lotus feet and trying to depend upon the mechanical, it may not be the real essential meaning of it, but you know, for it's a very good exercise to remember. And that's her prayer, Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Lord Chaitanya prays, you know, Mary, become an atom at your lotus feet. That's where we really belong. It's not like, you know, your material perspective of that doesn't sound very attractive. Geez, I don't want to become a grain of dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. Give me a break. Grain of dust? Eternally sitting there as a grain of dust? What is that? I'll stay in the material world. I'll put the fun down here. You know, the material conditioned mind might think like that. But it's not like that. It's that's another topic we won't get into, but it's a complete ecstasy. It's not necessary. Grain of dust, we're really situated there, completely dependent on Krishna, totally existing for his pleasure. Oh, Krishna, if it brings you pleasure to crush me, then my pleasure is your pleasure. That's the mood of a devotee. Simply love. You just want to see Krishna happy. And that you cannot imagine the happiness the pure devotees experience when they're in that mood of only thinking of what will please Krishna? Nothing else. So Lord Shiva becomes, he's already so auspicious, becomes more auspicious because he takes that water on his head, which purifies the entire universe, and it purifies the heart of all contamination. Prabhupada describes how, just like Indra destroys mountains with his thunderbolt, he has his thunderbolt and he smashes mountains, right, Gurudas? He smashes mountains. Are you studying something there? Meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord, right? Look at all that dust of the feet. Well, imagine this floor. All this morning, all the devotees' dust is all over their feet, all over the floor. It should roll. In fact, it is stated in King, what is his name? Judbarat, when he was talking to that king, Ruhugana. Who's going to surprise? How is it you have attained? You just look like a madman. Just like all of us. You look like a madman. How have you attained this knowledge? Where has it come from? And he said, the only way you can attain this is you have to literally cover yourself with the dust of the lotus feet of pure devotees. Prahlad Maharaj says the same thing. Very wonderful verses. That means we come back to take shelter under their lotus feet. Take his shelter of their instructions. Surrender. You know, when you bow to someone's feet, put your head on my feet. Under my feet, better still. It means to surrender, isn't it? Even materially people kind of understand that. And that's how we get that the mercy. Without taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Representative, one can't get that mercy of Krishna. The pure devotees are literally the dust at the lotus feet of the Lord. And they disseminate that mercy through their instructions. We have to take shelter there. Then one is protected. Then one can start to awaken, become cleansed. So Prabhupada says, just like Indra's thunderbolt smashes mountains to pieces, meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord smashes the mountain of sin, the anartas in our heart, to shreds, powders them to nothing. They just become evaporated. Destroys them completely. So therefore, Prabhupada said, we should meditate upon those lotus feet. Means the instructions of the spiritual master. The holy name. Just like the Gangas descend in this universe. Lord Vamanadeva has come. All the great sages have come. Brahma has come. All the demigods have come. And you're going. Breakfast time. Okay. We'll let you off. They're running there. Lord Vamanadeva, what a great event. A yajna. Bali Maharaj has just performed this incredible yajna. He's just given everything away. Everything. And then Vamadeva's come. What an opportunity. They're all running there. Similarly, the holy name, Lord Chaitanya, has appeared. He's come. He's giving away freely. Freely, what no one else has given before. You can take bath in the Ganga. It takes a little while before one becomes purified. There is immediate effect, but it may not be all pervasive. It takes time. Because most people don't have the right attitude. They're like animals. It's Eva Gokara. They just go there, dip in the Ganga. It's too cold. I'm not going in. Ooh, look at that. I'm not going in there. Ooh. Some kind of different perspectives. But the pure devotees, what is that verse? Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Just a Lava Matra. It's like 11th of a second or whatever it is. It's just a flash of association with a pure devotee has so much purifying effect, can purify a living entity completely. It's so powerful. So they come into this world. Lord Chaitanya has come into this world. His devotees have come into this world to bring the holy name freely. Take it. It's even more powerful than the Ganga Jal. Just distribute the holy name. People aren't coming. They're not pious like these sages, but they are that we cannot see. One time Prabhupada said, of course it depends on the quality of the yajna, but the demigods and all the sages, they're there. They come. When Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan is being performed with pure hearts, they all want to be there. They come in disguised forms, unseen by mundane eyes. This is their pleasure. This is the yajna. They come to this planet when there's proper yajna performed. We may not be able to see them now, Kali Yuga. But that's the understanding. If we're not there, why should they be there? Hare Krishna's going on and we're somewhere else. Maybe physically we're there, but mentally we're not. We've got to get there. We've got to be there. The yajna's here. You imagine if you're in that yajna of Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva came. Oh God, what's this? Let me see what's on the internet. Let me just check my messages here. Send a text message to my dog. Let's see what my dog's up to. Here we go. How's it going, Rover? Come on over, Rover. Yeah, they were completely... Wow, what an opportunity. What an opportunity when the Harinam starts running to be there. Then we're looking at our watch. God, when's this going to finish? When's this blooming thing going to finish? Got to do something else quick. Get out of here. Jeez, hope nobody tries to make me dance. Standing at the back like a statue. We don't get in there. You've got to get in the fire. Not going to get very warm if you don't get in. And remain with our dull perception of the world. You've got to be changed. Be changed. So they're eager. They're showing this eagerness. You've got to be eager. They're all coming. All of them. All different types. They're coming. Valadeva's there. They want to come and glorify Bali Maharaj. It's glorious. He's a demon. But they recognize how glorious this is. He's surrendered. Doesn't matter where we are. We may be demons, whatever we may be or were. If we surrender, it's glorious. More glorious. This is Lord Chaitanya's movement. It's the most glorious thing. Delivering the most fallen. Most fallen. This Sankirtan is purifying. It's said that by the dancing of the devotees, by their glancing and their dancing, when they glance around, it's said they purify all the directions around them. With the dancing of their feet, they purify the lower planetary systems. When they raise their hands and sing the holy names, they purify the upper planetary systems. Everything becomes purified by the Sankirtan of the pure devotees. So we try to follow in their footsteps, that's all. Perform Sankirtan Yajna as much as possible. Prabhupada describes it should be performed just like he's given the example of how King Prachini Barhishat was performing one sacrifice after the other at different ages for the benefit of the welfare of all the citizens, even in desert areas. And Prabhupada says similarly, we should perform one Sankirtan Yajna after the next without a break. All the time Sankirtan Yajna should be going on everywhere. Just like in New York, Ram Roy Prabhu, as some of you may know, but he's going out every day, even in this weather that they're having this winter, he's out there every day on Harinam Sankirtan. They've had the heaviest winter on record, and I think this today, I think, is expected to be the worst day of all of the winter this week. Unbelievable almost. But he's out every day with a group of devotees doing Harinam. They don't go up on the street because there's no way. They can't sit down there. They go down the subways and do Harinam. In the summer, they sit in Union Square. Whoever he can get, they're out there every day, and hundreds of people are gathered around, many joining in, buying books, giving donations. Even during the Kartik month, they had a whole setup there with an altar of Damodar, and ordinary people on the street were coming and offering lamps and giving donations. This is Sankirtan. This is Sankirtan. There was old days, there was a cartoon in the newspaper. It was 6 foot of snow. And there was this Harinam party going, one devotee in the front with a shovel, shoveling the snow left and right, and the Harinam party coming behind. Nothing would stop the Harinam party, and books going out at the same time. That's Harinam. Determination. But they're planning this year, somebody has just given them, not given, but is lending them about $2 million to get an apartment for Harinam in New York, interest free, and someone else is giving 300,000 donation. Lucky souls getting the opportunity to serve the yajna, which will attract the attention of all great personalities. This yajna must be performed everywhere and anywhere as much as we can. This is the Yuga Dharma. To spread the holy name to every town, every village. And everything about our movement is part of that Yuga Dharma, the Mother Kalangana. Is that right? Is that Mother Kalangana on the altar? Hari Bol. Head Pujari? Wonderful. There's also Sankirtan, because the point is to please Krishna. Sankirtan means to please Krishna. It's not an activity in reality. It means to bring pleasure to Krishna. Glorification, the word here is kirtihi, sankirtan. The fame or the glorious activities of the Lord. To spread that fame and glory everywhere. That is sankirtan. without any other motivation. So we try to do the Sangha means to do what Prabhupada wants. So running temples, managing temples, worshipping the deities is all part of Sankirtan. But the essential point is to somehow or another to facilitate the yajna of chanting the holy names of Krishna. We wouldn't be here now probably if there was no temple here. And certainly if there was no prasadam, we wouldn't be here. Right? So imagine if there's no prasadam. Would you be here? Would you stay? Prabhus, we've made a new GBC resolution. From now on, we're going to fast entirely. No more eating. There'll be no more prasadam in the temple. At least not for you. Would you stay? What's happened? Would you stay? Probably not. You find some Gujarati devotees out there who go to their house and stay there. Everything's important. But don't forget the most. The point of it, the Lord Chaitanya's brought into this universe, is the Sankirtan, the holy names. To deliver us all. Welcome. Come on in. Somebody at the door. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. This is really the most auspicious. Kirti, this all auspicious, this fame of the Lord. We want to spread that fame everywhere. Sankirti. Complete glorification. Sang means complete. Full. Includes everything. Bring it all in to that flow, that river of Sankirtan, so that everyone just, some or another, get them into that river of Sankirtan. That river just flows and takes everyone out of this material world, swishes them back to Godhead. What am I doing here? Let me out. I'm drowning in the ocean. Good. Keep dunking them in until they're completely drowned in the Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Just like the rains of mercy are showering down from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into this universe. Then like the Ganga is showering down to this universe, bringing all auspiciousness. So we constantly absorb our hearts and minds in the holy name in this way. All the dirt in our hearts will be completely smashed to pieces. There'll be no more. No more. The Kali will run for his life. You'll see Kali running for his life. Help! I gotta get out of here. I can't handle this. Hare Krishna. Okay, we're finished there. It's almost 8:30. And I know that another aspect of Sankirtan is brewing. And very important aspect. Any questions?